Hey, baby, I'm gone. Stand by for Craig Finley at 6:35. We're just moments away now from a tribute to Steve Ellis from the KISD Good Guys, produced by Tom Rambler. Stand by. Half-hour program that I'm sure you'll dig. In the meantime, I'll check you out tomorrow night about 7 o'clock. This is your Dr. Bill Proctor saying, baby, maintain your cool. Don't be nobody's fool, and mama, come get your baby boy. Later, lovers.
And the Starfires, a hard rock band from Pipestone, Minnesota. You could almost say Sioux Falls, South Dakota, because they're just as much a part of us as they are in Pipestone. My name is Tom Rambler, and this program is dedicated to the Starfires, who on August 31st of this year were hit hard by the tragic death of their leader, Stephen Ellis Garlick, best known as Steve Ellis. The Starfires, Barry Hansen on rhythm guitar, Mike Mulligan bass guitar, Dean Senfner, called Zeke, on drums, talked with me about the group and its music, kind of music they liked and played. Zeke explained it, but Barry says it best.
Just plain old hard rock.
Yeah, it was a kind of hard rock music. It was
good beat.
It was a little different though than regular music. It was a little weird. I think you'd call it. It was just just different than most of the hard rock music that came on around this time. And Steve wanted to be a dance band. He didn't want to be a psychedelic band or a show band or any of that. He wanted to be a dance band. He wanted to play what the kids liked. And he just wanted to be a dance band, not any of these big show bands or anything, because that's all there is in the Midwest, just show bands. And he wanted to be somebody, a band that you could go and dance to and not just stand and watch all night.
Somebody you could personalize yourself with, too.
Right. Yeah.
Feels, written and released on the flip side of the group's popular recording of Walking Around. All of the music you hear on this program was written by Steve Ellis, with the exception of Since I Fell for You, written by Lenny Welch and Fontella Bass. All the songs performed by the Starfires. They play the music of today, but not everybody dug the Starfires.
I personally couldn't say. I'd say a lot of them liked the Starfires, and a lot of them didn't. A lot of them had a bad impression on us guys just because we grew sideburns and had long hair and a little bit like that. But But yeah, we were a little bit weird, I guess. But that really wasn't it. I mean, I think we were all a bunch of real nice, devoted guys.
In general, I mean, we usually got real good crowds, real good turnouts and everything. And judging by that, I'd say that they must have some feeling toward us anyway.
I don't know about as far as kids liking us. I think they did, judging by crowds and that. But I sure liked us. I enjoyed playing with us, you know.
Was a perfectionist. Now, that word came up more than once in my conversations and observations with the Starfires. Zeke told me Steve always had to have a challenge.
I'm sure he had to have a challenge because the more challenge he had, the harder he tried. And he always had a challenge with whatever he did. Like, for instance, with his car, you know, where everybody told him he was the six deuces that he ran was never going to make and never going to make it. Well, he just wanted to prove to people that they were going to make it. I mean, that something like this could really win. And that was a challenge for him. And that's why he always kept working on it. That's why he never changed to something bigger, like fuel injection or something like that. He just wanted to prove to people that they could do it. I think you proved it. I think you, in a roundabout way, I mean, probably most people can't see it, but if you really understand Stephen Noyma a little bit, I'm quite sure he proved his point when he was trying to do.
I think he proved his point with his music and his life, right? Well, if he didn't prove it already, he was definitely on the verge of proving it. I know it would have been proved very shortly. As far as with his car and that.
You know, it might have been proved to other people, but not to him, it wasn't. He wasn't.
Well. hide of a man. And they said it couldn't be done. But Steve Ellis took his .38 DeSoto coupe with its 6 2-barrel carburetors and its 418 cubic inch Oldsmobile engine to Thunder Valley Dragways in Marion. They said it couldn't be done. Steve Ellis now holds the B altered track record at Thunder Valley. Pride of a Man. Ellis wrote that song in 1966. And Pride of a Man was reflected in his philosophy of life and in his music. Mike Mulligan told me that Steve always tried to help the underprivileged. In fact, he even wrote a song called Her Face about a girl who was scorned by society because she was not physically attractive.
Usually your favorite, like underdogs and things like that, you try to make poorer quality, not really poorer quality things, but things that are persecuted, or ideas, persecuted ideas, you try to bring them through and make them work, I guess. Yeah. The whole song was about someone that was persecuted and people picked on him, someone that was ugly, like you said, and people never realized they appreciated the person until they died. And then the girl in the song was, people thought of the things that she'd done and stuff like that and really felt sorry for the way they treated her.
Steve, being a perfectionist in everything he did, made the band work that much harder. I asked Zeke, Barry, and Mike if they were satisfied with their music.
As far as we were never actually satisfied with music because they always knew that they could make better music, and they always kept trying to make better music at all times. We were never ever satisfied with the music that we ever put out because we always knew we could do it better, and we always kept trying to do it better. You have to say that you aren't as good or something like that, because if you don't, you just never get any place. You just think you're great and that's it.
Barry, how did you look at the music? Were you satisfied with the music you put out?
No, I don't think any of us have ever been completely satisfied with it. It's just, you know, like Dean said, you just, if you think you can do better than what you did, you're naturally not satisfied with it.
Well, and most of the songs we recorded, we'd get the song all done and everyone would say it was good, but, you know, in the group, and then someone everyone would listen to their own parts that they did in the song, and you'd find some part in there that you weren't satisfied with yourself, that you'd want to redo yourself or even just redo your part in it if at all possible to make it better. And, I don't know, I thought that we were starting to get good as far as a group and individual musicians too, but you have to keep trying and telling yourself that you're not.
Starfire's future and what lies ahead. Names have been mentioned to fill the lead spot left vacant by Steve's death, but nothing definite at this time. Bobby Berge's been added on drums as Zeke heads for college.
Well, I don't really know. I am going back to college, but I never think I'll ever quit playing the drums. I hope to get some kind of a job. I don't really think I'll go into pharmacy because it takes too long. I don't really plan to spend 5 or 6 years in college. I only want to spend about 3 or 4, and I just soon I'll get a job where I work about 8 hours a day and where I can play nightclubs at night, and that's just more or less what I'd like to do.
How about you, Barry? What lies in store for you as far as a musician is concerned? Starfire is going to remain the same?
No, they won't remain the same. They'll change. They always have changed. They'll just keep on changing. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll change right along with it and keep on playing as long as I can.
We want to try to keep basically the group that we had now before. And maybe, you know, we have to find a person to add. And I don't ever want to go to a bigger band, or none of us really like horns or anything like that, and we'll stay a small group if we can, unless it's absolutely necessary that we have to
make more money that way anyway.
Right.
song penned by Ellis. Steve Ellis was on a lot of people's minds. He made friends easily wherever he went. Those who knew him best tell what he was really like.
Yeah, he's a pretty psychedelic guy, you know. He's different from everybody else. Oh, he had different attitudes about just about everything, you know. But it showed up in his music. That's probably why he was so successful.
I don't know. I think he was just trying to be successful. I think he was better than most people. That's why I owe it so hard for him to be accepted. He just wanted to prove himself or prove to everybody else what he was, that he could do just what everybody else could do. And what everybody else didn't think he could do, he was going to prove it to them that he could do all the time. That's what he was after. I don't think he ever could have reached the peak, because the longer he kept going, the better he kept getting, and the more he learned, and the better he was at writing songs and at doing things. And I don't think there'd ever been a peak that he could reach, because he was such a smart, intelligent man and was could do so many things, was so talented that there was no end that he could ever reach.
Every time he'd set a peak, he'd pass it up anyway. Steve was really a smart person, very intelligent. He was working on his cars. He had his coupe and a Jaguar that was partially his brother's, that he worked on for his brother, and his Tornado. He had two motorcycles, the band, writing songs, and he was taking electronics courses. And he was doing so many things, and he was doing them all real good. And if he would ever, if anything ever would have slowed down, something he couldn't get higher on, he'd always thought of some way to redo it, make a difference so that he could go higher with it, or think of something else to go higher with.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle with universal pieces.
Steve wrote that in 1964 and released it in 1966 and was very, very successful with it. Somehow, that song sums up Steve Ellis Garlick's life. He was sometimes lonely and quiet, looking for something. We will never know if he found it. At the age of 22 years, 8 months, and 8 days, Steve died of head injuries suffered in a freak motorcycle accident 3 days earlier. But even at that young age, he accomplished something that we all dream of, leaving something behind for all men to enjoy, and that was his music. And the Starfires continue the job that Steve Ellis started for them. Entertain wherever they can. This is Tom Bradley.
Downtown Sioux Falls, KISD Radio. Hello, everybody. This is Dick Buller, sitting in for Van Patrick, reporting Mutual Sports.